We continue our look at what it means to live as post-Easter Christians, what it means to live in light of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today, we're kind of going to take a step back. We're going back to not long before Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. And one of the interesting things about the gospel writers is that they wrote these gospels after the resurrection, after the church was beginning to get itself established and going. And you would think that if you were writing something of a retrospective, a looking back on a situation, and the people who are now in key roles within the life of the church, that you would try to make them look good. I mean, that's just logical, that's reasonable, that you would try and, you know, I mean, these are the people who are leading the early church and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you would think if you're writing about them and their history with Jesus and so on, you would try to make them look as good as you could. But the interesting thing with the Gospels is they didn't. They never sugarcoated the disciples, never made them look into something that they weren't. Their humanness is right there in the forefront. And so we're going to take a look at this passage from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. This takes place shortly before Jesus' betrayal, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. And it's found in the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 14. And Jesus said this to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring the glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." May the Lord bless us, a portion from his holy word. The disciples, here they are, 3 years into their side-by-side journey with Jesus. 3 years of walking with him, talking with him, watching what he was doing, hearing the preaching that he did, watching the miracles happen right before their eyes. They were front and center in all that transpired in Jesus' life and ministry. But they're getting towards the end. It's about time for the final exam, so to speak. And they don't seem to get it. They seem to be missing the picture. They don't seem to understand who Jesus is and what it is that he is doing, why it is that he is going to the cross for all of us. And so Jesus is trying to give them this last remedial lesson, and they don't seem to be catching on. They seem to be asking one question after another that shows that they're not getting the big picture. They're not getting the full idea. And Jesus answers Thomas by saying, you know, you want to know the way. You want to know how it is that all this is going to transpire. Well, just Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I think one of the reasons that the gospel writers allowed the disciples to look human and give them the opportunity to learn and learn and learn and learn is because we as human beings are just like the disciples. We sometimes get it right away, and sometimes it takes us a little longer. It's a little harder for us, or we take something off on a tangent in a different direction altogether from where it is supposed to be, where it was intended to be. I mean, this passage itself has been misused so many times over the course of so many years. It has been used as a hammer against other people. It has been used as a tool of exclusion rather than the greatest statement of inclusion. You see, this statement that Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, is the most inclusive, exclusive statement ever spoken. It is inclusive because the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's love, is for every single human being. That it is God's desire that every single person know and experience His love. Jesus died on the cross not for a tiny group of people, not for just a handful of people who get the theology exactly right, because that would exclude 99.9% of us. But the scriptures tell us that He died once for all, that His arms were wide open to welcome everyone. It is still the most exclusive statement, because it is a statement that there is only one way to the heavenly kingdom, and that's through the gift of Jesus Christ. A gift that is ours to receive, ours to accept. It's not about what we do. It's never been about what we do. It's always been about what Christ has done for us. And whether we accept that or we reject that is the only aspect of it that is in our control. It is up to us to take that very inclusive gift through the exclusive work and person of Jesus Christ. We sometimes miss that. And I have a hunch that maybe Thomas and Philip and the others were not quite getting that when Jesus was talking to them, and that they just couldn't quite get it through their minds what this death and resurrection was going to mean. They couldn't seem to quite get it through their minds that Jesus had to do what was coming up. That Jesus had to offer Himself up freely to die for us on the cross in order that all of the sins of the world might be laid upon Him and taken away from each and every one of us. That the penalty, the price of those sins was placed upon His life so that you and I might have life. That it was the ultimate act of love. On that Good Friday, absolute love came face to face with absolute evil. And those who were there on that day thought for sure that evil had won. But the truth of the matter is, we live in light of the resurrection, that absolute love has absolutely won. So when Jesus speaks about being the way, it is not just about our salvation, but it is about how it is that we live our lives. You see, before the early church was called the Christians, they went by another name. They were known as, they called themselves, the people of the way. That they sought to live their lives in the way of Jesus Christ, following His example of selflessness, of generosity, of forgiveness, of grace, of mercy. So when Jesus says, I am the way, He's talking certainly about His death upon the cross and how that opens up the kingdom of heaven. But He's also talking about how it is that we live as post-resurrection Christians. That we need to be people of the way, following in His example, looking to Him, trying to grow closer to Him, trying to be more like Him in the way that each of us lives our own lives. The whole theme of this series is drawing closer and closer. And the way that we draw closer to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Getting to know Him, experiencing Him, learning about Him, emulating Him, following Him. All of those things are the avenue for us to be a people of the way, to follow the One who has the most inclusive, exclusive good news for each of us. Inclusive because He wants every single one of us to be His sons and daughters. Exclusive because there's no other way than through the love of Jesus Christ. Can we be the people of the way so that we can become closer and closer to God our Father? Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we do give You thanks for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way, who has shown us the truth about You and has shown us the way that we ought to live our lives, for He indeed is the life that we seek. O Heavenly Father, help us to draw closer and closer to Jesus Christ so that through Him we might know You better. For if we have seen Him, we have seen You. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.